Appreciate this morning. I just wanted to share something I thought of as Phil was speaking here today. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I feel like it just kind of flows with what the Lord's saying to us. It's Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. And Paul here says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." So he's describing what natural life is like. Apart from God's intervention, this is just how people are. It's how they live. "They're darkened in their understanding, and they're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardening of their hearts." See, there's naturally just human beings, we're natured to pursue what we want, and where the conscience that God has put in us would speak against that, or wherever God would try to reach and shine light on that, if that gets resisted in order to pursue what we want, well, that's how people live in this world. That's the natural way of life. And so there becomes a hardening there. That's what it says, having lost all sensitivity. They lose the ability to hear that voice and to feel that check of God. "They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity," trying to gratify this nature. But you see here what living like this, the problem with it, or one of the big problems here is what it says here, with a continual lust for more. There's no satisfying this nature trying to live according to its dictates. If you achieve whatever it is you think you want, it won't be enough. At first it will, and it'll seem great, and then eventually it won't be enough. You've probably heard people use the illustration with, some kind of drug, whether it's alcohol or some kind of other drug, that they start using it because it, whatever reason, they enjoy the way it makes them feel, but then they get to a point where they need that much just to feel normal, and then they got to have more to actually feel good. And the cycle just goes on and on and on, and it's a destructive cycle. You can't ever find satisfaction and gratification trying to live for this flesh, because if you achieve what you think you want to achieve, it won't be what you thought it was. In fact, that's what he says here in a minute. You'll see that. But he's saying, don't be like this. This is life without God. Without what we're talking about here today, this is what people's lives are in this world. Trying to get what they think they want, what they feel like they want, and then there's a world full of people and we're all competing for the same things and fighting and fussing over who gets what, and then when you get it, it's not enough and it's not what you thought it was going to be, and that's just life in this broken world. That's why it's in the shape that it's in. But he's saying, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self." The old self can't be fixed. It's got to be eliminated. You can't reform it. It's got to be put off. Thank God there's a new life. There's another life he's given us. But that has got to emerge, and the other has got to be killed. You can't fix it. We've got to put off that old way of life. But he says this, "which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." That's what it is. When we're living it for ourselves in this world, there's a deceit behind that, because you think this is going to make me happy. We think this is what I really want. This is what I need. And like I said, we get there and find out so many times, hey, it's not what I thought it was, or it cost more than I realized it was going to cost to get here, and now it's not what I thought it was. Those desires are deceitful. That's why the scripture talks about even our own hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only he can know it. Only he can try the reins. But this is what our nature is like. It says it's being corrupted by its deceitful desires, so we have to put that off. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. You see that? This is not something we can fix ourselves. We have to surrender ourselves so that we can be made new in the way that we think, in the way that we look about it, at issues, in the way we see these things. We can't do that for ourselves. That's why it's called salvation. We have a Savior, but we do have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice and let him be able to do that in us. That's what he's called us to be made new in the attitude of our minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. His life within us, it is God's life. Holiness and living for God, that's natural to that life, because it's his life. It's his life that he's put there. So we got to learn how to, "Lord, you put to death what you have to do in me to get that out of the way and let your life come out." And that's what he says here. He says, therefore, he says a couple things here relating to how we interact with each other. This isn't just about us in a vacuum serving God. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. So this affects the way we interact with each other. But this is the scripture I actually thought of that led me to this. He says, and do not give the devil a foothold. This is what God's trying to do, is eliminate footholds. Because you know what a foothold is? It's a place where you just sort of get one little bit you can kind of hang on to or grab there. But You know, the devil, he can't just, like Phil said, he doesn't just swoop in and take over people's lives. He comes at us through things in this nature, but it starts with a foothold. But that's not the end game. That's just the start. The end game is a stronghold. That's what he wants. He wants a home. He wants a stronghold. But it starts with a foothold, and that's the warning of God to us. Don't let him have that foothold, because this is how it comes. To whatever degree this nature is still alive and still in charge, that's where the vulnerability is there, where he wants to get that foothold, but that's just the start, and he's going to try to build in that. And I tell you what, he's patient. He's a cunning foe, but he is a defeated foe. And we have somebody who's wiser than him, and it's not me. It's not Phil. It's our Lord Jesus. He is the one, and he will lead us if we ask him. But this is the truth of God here this morning. Lord, help us. I want that old self to be put off, and I realize I can't even do it myself. Even wanting that's not enough. I have to ask you, help me submit myself as a living sacrifice and let you make me new in the attitude of my mind. I believe that's a prayer he'll answer, and he'll give the grace we need, because he wants us to be free. He died so that we could be free. He even talks in one place, you know, Phil mentioned fear. He talks in one place about not being a slave to a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear. We're not under a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear. He wants to deliver his people this morning. I just thank him for it. Thank God for his life.